This first remembrance was sent by Patty O'Neill, who was a dear friend of my mother's in Derry, New Hampshire, and our next-door neighbor and beloved of our whole family. She writes, "When I think about my friendship with Taffy, countless memories come flooding back. There is one day, though, which stands out above them all. Even more than the day Kate and I made Taffy's birthday cake, or the time Rem flew us all to Montreal for the day, or the impromptu dinners of Chinese food, or even all the spirited political discussions. One day, more than 20 years ago, stands out above all the rest. I was sitting in the living room of our home on Redfield Circle in East Derry, New Hampshire, playing with my two small children. The doorbell rang, and in came Taffy. We were acquaintances at this point. Taffy, Rem, and Kate had recently moved into the house across the street from us. We had shared cups of coffee and neighborly chats, but we did not know one another very well. In came Taffy, full of life and energy and ideas. On this particular fateful day, she was filled with enthusiasm for one specific new idea. 'Do you know,' she asked, 'that we're going to have to build a new school in Derry one of these days? The schools are bursting at the seams.' Undeterred by my less than enthusiastic response, she forged on. 'Well, a school is going to be built, and we want to make sure it gets built in East Derry.' She looked at Susie, piling alphabet blocks one on top of the other, and at Peter, asleep in his infant seat. 'Before you know it, those babies will be ready for school. Here's what we need to do.' She went on to explain her plan. We would both volunteer to serve on the long-range planning committee for the school district so we could have some input. We would make sure the school got built where we wanted it built. Now, this was right up Taffy's alley, but for me, it was unexplored territory. I was still trying to get used to the idea that I was one of the grown-ups. Never mind thinking that anyone would seriously consider me a likely candidate for anything as official-sounding as a long-range planning committee. 'Oh, I don't think I can do that,' I replied. 'Of course you can. I pick these applications up. Just fill this out and drop it off at the superintendent's office.' She handed me the application and was gone before I could say, 'Wait a minute, I'm not sure.' So I did fill out the application, and I did drop it off, and I did serve on that committee, because Taffy told me to, and I was more afraid of saying no to her than I was of serving on the committee. 'Of course you can,' she had said, and I wanted to believe her. And that was the beginning. We served on the planning committee, then we served on the building committee. While others were wringing their hands about the cost of buying the land for a new school, Taffy found a perfect spot for a school in East Derry and convinced the owner to donate the land. While others were wondering how he would garner enough voter support at the school district meeting, Taffy was organizing and networking and getting out the vote. That school got built just in time for my daughter to enter as a member of the very first grade class. All five of my children attended that school, East Derry Memorial Elementary School. Each morning when they walked in and each afternoon as they walked out to their buses, they walked past a plaque with the names of all the citizens who had served on that building committee. They saw my name, and they saw the name Catherine Aranda. And as if through osmosis, they took in the unspoken lesson: get involved, make a difference, be a problem solver, do your part. In quotes, "A friend is someone with whom you can be yourself," end quote. That's what Emerson tells us. Far be it for me to try to improve on Emerson, but in reflecting upon my relationship with Taffy, I think I want to add something to his definition. A friend is someone who helps you become yourself. And that is what Taffy did for me. Taffy and I shared our stay-at-home mom years with one another. We traded recipes and child-rearing woes. We went to lectures and seminars on all sorts of topics. We tried countless brownie recipes in search of just the perfect brownie. And we even tried our hands at writing a romance novel. On Saturday mornings, before anyone else in my house was awake, I would tiptoe out the door and across the street in the chilly quiet of dawn to Taffy's house, where she would be waiting with hot coffee and scones right out of her oven. We would sit at her dining room table and share what we had written that week. We only wrote a few chapters. It was not really very good at all. But those quiet mornings were a precious escape for me from the mayhem of raising a large and boisterous family. It wasn't until years later, after Taffy and Rem had moved to California and strangers lived across the street, that it dawned on me that she had known that she was providing that respite for me. That had been her plan all along, and I thought we were really writing a novel. In the recipe department, Taffy broadened my rather limited repertoire She introduced me to black beans, homemade ice cream, and dill bread. Her wisdom about children took my breath away. It was Taffy who told me that when a child begins to misbehave, it is probably because he or she is bored and needs a new challenge. Give him a job to do, she would say, and she was right. When I think of Taffy, the first word that comes to my mind is grace. She was gracious, of course, in the social sense, and she was graceful. She moved with an easy elegance. Her laughter and her smile could light up a room. But Taffy had a more profound grace. Her kindness and generosity, her willingness to serve others, and to put her prodigious talents and energy to work for the common good, were a reminder to the rest of us of how life ought to be lived and how our gifts ought to be used. She was blessed with great intellect and wisdom, with a giving heart and a forgiving nature, and she used all those gifts in the service of others. We were all blessed to be touched by her grace, and I will miss her very, very much. My mother's sister, Betsy Hansmanolis, will read another remembrance sent by Pat Dowling, also from New Hampshire.
So this is Pat Dowling. Okay. She was my friend, says Pat, my confidant, my co-worker, and my honorable elected sister at the New Hampshire House of Representatives. This is House of Representative person. She knew everything about everything, and if she didn't, she found the answers, either from REM or from research. How she loved to tend her property. She had flowers, plants, and even waterfalls as she rejoiced in these tasks and proudly expounded on her creations. She was an excellent realtor, a lucrative position in southern New Hampshire. She passed the rigorous exam on her first attempt, not at all daunted by the difficult questions. She approached the profession as a social worker, having the incredible gift of listening. She always found the most suitable house for the right clients, no matter how long it took. The power of persistence came naturally to her. Together, we ran for election as Republicans to the New Hampshire House of Representatives, hoping for victory. There were several seats open. At the end of the day, when the votes were tallied, we were reluctant to personally make appearance for fear of losing. Instead, Rem, Catherine, and I watched the local television station to await the results. There was much laughter, clapping, and handshaking when our victories were announced. Even Rem was excited, though he was always positive of the outcome. Catherine approached the State House in her usual manner with a smile, always, and her soft-spoken voice. Again, her abilities to listen, absorb, and speak became her trademarks. She soon became the clerk of her committee, and colleagues from both sides of the aisle sought her out. She ran for re-election and won again, then did so for a third time, always victorious. How she loved her daughter, Kate. She was so proud of her intelligence and her many accomplishments. She mentioned her every day. This child was beautiful, though modest, pensive, though cordial, and like her mother, thoughtful and always smiling. Catherine and Rem had definite goals relative to her education, and Catherine drove hours every day so Kate could matriculate at the very best schools. The child was brilliant, and I imagine still is. Yes, she was my friend, my mentor, and a lady I loved very much. My memories of her and of her are priceless, and she will remain in my heart forever. When it's my turn to cross over, Catherine will be waiting with a smile and opened arms. I will see you then, my friend.
This is a note from David Noonan. A high school friend of mine. First of all, thank you for inviting me to participate in this celebration of Taffy's life. It is an honor and a pleasure to share in this sad and joyful day. What I have to figure out is how it could be that I have such strong memories of a person I shared just a few scattered days with over the course of nearly 40 years. One obvious reason, Taffy's generous spirit. I'm sure that if I had ever asked her, I could borrow $5, and she would have handed it over without a blink and tried to make me take 20. But that's not the kind of generosity I'm talking about. I remember Taffy because he was so generous with her attention. I can't recall the details of our handful of long-ago conversations, too many broken synapses for that. But I readily remember the warmth of her interest. It was deep and real and sincere. A rare thing to experience these days, or any days. She was so damn smart, and she cared so much about other people. You just don't forget people like that, ever. And you don't forget her bright and beautiful smile, either. But the main reason I remember Taffy so well is Brooklyn Heights. That misty land you wandered into 1,000 years ago, when we were so young and didn't know what the hell we were doing. I'm not going to say we were lost, because I don't think we were, not really. But we didn't always know where we were, and I guess that's the same thing. We were going about the messy business of figuring out who we were, dropping out of college, talking in diners all night long, buying beat-up sports cars that never passed inspection. And suddenly there was this incredible woman in your life, and everything was different. What impressed me most about Taffy at first, besides her super brain, was how organized she was. Her life had order. What a concept. In no time at all, it seemed you were organized too. You found your line and you followed it. Your life was transformed. Or to put it another way, you fell in love. And that finally is why I remember Taffy so well. Because you were the first of my friends to find their someone, and that someone was Taffy. I saw your dream come true. How could I ever forget that?
This is from Judith Denton Jones, also old dear friends of the family who live in Maine. She writes, Catherine, Taffy as I knew her, had such an open mind, sharing her wit and wisdom freely. She introduced me to many ideas about design in city planning after we met in 1971, in rugs, in small-scale drawings, in clothes, in cooking. We shared an office on the 24th floor of the New York City Planning Commission, two floors about where the elevators stopped. Our common interests continued beyond that phase of our lives. We shared our house for a while when she and Kate returned from England, and we watched our girls grow up together. Taffy and Rem are early adopters of innovations. They introduced us to Apple computers and programming, to energy-efficient house designs, to new tent designs for camping. Taffy had recently created a blog template for our small nonprofit organization's website. With a light and lively touch, Taffy contributed so much, and we miss her enormously already.
From Francois Sauer, a digital equipment manager in New Hampshire, colleague of mine at that time, and friend since. Catherine, for me, manifested a very unique brilliance, the brilliance of her beingness, looking to contribute to others the best of herself and concurrently open to face the reality of the here and now. I will miss her friendship.
From Marge Benjamin, also a dear friend from New York. She writes, my long friendship with Taffy dates from the early 1970s when I interviewed her for a job at New York City's Department of City Planning. She was not yet 30, bright, beautiful, tentative. A Vietnam War widow with roots in the hills of Western Virginia, she was an unlikely newcomer to the Big Apple. She was a bit awed by my relative sophistication, I being a native New Yorker, but we soon discovered that we complemented each other's assets. She had the gift of an inquiring mind, and she was always interested in the new, whether intellectual, philosophical, or domestic. Well, I recall the time she experimented with the newly marketed Cuisinart. A group of us were invited to the apartment she and Rem shared in Brooklyn Heights, where she had labored for hours making meatballs of varying ingredients, beef, veal, pork, and so on. Much drama and mystery accompanied the tasting experience. But when we were presented with these masterpieces, lo and behold, they all tasted identical. How we laughed in our joy of youth. Taffy and I stayed in touch at intervals through her later experiences in England, New Hampshire, California, and back to Virginia. I met her family, who must have been alarmed by my New Yorkness. An emphatic interest that we both shared was a love of textiles and creating fine clothes. I was pleased to advise her on dressing to maximize her best features, and I could and did shop for fabric for her. Since it always had to be beige or taffy-colored, I was pretty sure how to please her. Taffy was unique in discerning the essence of an issue. Practically speaking, this meant working to convince me that my own work with old textiles was more valuable, not less, because of their rarity. Her patience over this issue was astounding. She just worked me over for years, and I finally got it. She arranged meetings with people who could further my marketing, always enthusiastically, as if it were her own. Now, I have a treasure trove of emails from Taffy these past months. Especially in December, we wrote back and forth on, for example, the beauty of the landscape. The last of these she wrote only hours before she was taken from us. My eyes tear up at the pain of the loss of this good soul. But I will be ever grateful for having this special woman on my side in my life.
This note is from Aldo Pelosi, a graduate school friend of mine who we met in our first day in England. Rem, Kate, and all the family, I'm sorry I'm unable to be here in person with you today, but perhaps these words from England will comfort you and demonstrate that I am certainly with you in my thoughts at this time. I am fortunate to be able to say that I have known Taffy and Rem for nearly all their married life together, and even remember Kate being a newborn. In 1976, Rem and I were fellow students reading for our master's degrees at Lancaster University. During that year, I quickly came to know Taffy and Rem very well, as my warm, dear friends, a true friendship that has stood the test of time and geographic separation throughout the years. I remember the first time I was invited for dinner at the small cottage that was temporarily the Aranda household in the UK. I was made to feel extremely welcome by a couple of swell guys who were truly devoted to each other. I had the happy feeling then that the relationship would last a long, long time, and I was proved right. The food was excellent and the company most enjoyable. Subsequently, I came to realize that I had just experienced firsthand some very good Southern home cooking served up with even better legendary Southern-style hospitality. I have an abiding memory of that first meeting with Taffy, which has stayed with me throughout the 33 years that I have had the pleasure of being friends with the family. I was struck by how serene and gracious Taffy was at all times. When I first visited Boston in 1979, I looked up at the American flag at Logan Airport and strangely felt that I had arrived back home. Only now, on reflection, can I attribute that incongruent feeling to the anticipation of experiencing similar hospitality to that extended to me by Rem and Taffy a few years earlier. And I have to say that my anticipation was not in vain, as I was warmly welcomed by all I met during that trip. On a business trip to Boston again many years later, I visited a spell when the Arondas lived in New England. I do declare that the serenity had increased, along with the warmth, generosity, and kindness shown to me yet again by this truly remarkable lady and my old friend Rem. Those of us who came to know Taffy were truly privileged to have encountered such a lovely person. To the family, a wonderful friend, a devoted wife, and a loving mother. But to the rest of us, an inspiration of just how to be in life. Taffy, quotes, lived respected, close quotes, and we will miss her. Taffy represents to me, a foreigner, all the old-fashioned, decent things that for me characterize Americans. Warmth, openness, honesty, friendship, generosity, compassion, fairness, strength of character, and a desire to do what's right and proper. Taffy had these gifts and traits in great abundance. But Taffy was such a kind and compassionate person that she would not want us to grieve for long. I'm sure she would say, put away those tears of sadness. For such was her generosity of spirit that she would not want anyone to be upset. Further, I would say, replace them with tears of gladness. For we were all so privileged to have known such a fine lady as Taffy. So God bless Rem, Katie, and all the family, now and in the future. My thoughts are with you and will continue to be so. And for Taffy, as in the old Italian expression for what must for the time being be goodbye, Taffy, addio. Go with God. Friends, I'm very grateful to all of you who have taken time to come here today and honor the memory of Taffy or Catherine Aranda, however you knew this person, who regrettably is not with us any longer. I think the occasion of death brings us all to many deep thoughts. Among the most important, what is life about? And it comes to mind the old story of someone who died and were heaven bound, as it turned out. But on the way to heaven, they had passed through a dark zone, and they could see that there was this table with an extraordinary banquet of everything that anyone would ever want to eat, and there were people around it who had. Apparently, their arms in this state were very long and were too long to feed themselves. And all of these people in this predicament were cursing and yelling at one another. And it was a scene of great distress and anger and violence. And he asked what that was, and they told him that that was hell. And but not to be distracted, and as they continued to heaven, he was astonished to find the identical table and people with similar size arms. But all of these seemed quite happy and joyful and were having the dickens of a good time. And when he asked about the apparent difference, his guide said, well, notice that here they're feeding one another. The length of the arms is not a hindrance for them. Taffy lived with a very full understanding of that idea. And in looking at all of you who have come here today, and I'm so glad to see that, and thinking of the many who wanted to come today and could not, it's obvious to me that there are very few people on this earth who have lived in such a way that upon death, so many want to come to express their appreciation and positive remembrance of how they touch them. So certainly I'm not among those lucky few that can do that. But I suggest to you, my friends, that we can find no better way to honor Catherine's memory than to be, by this occasion, reminded and encouraged to live the remainder of our time in this place and to deal with those that we deal with in the remainder of our days in such a fashion that when our time comes to meet our Maker, we might evoke a turnout more like this. Thank you very much for coming.